podcast time, jump aboard. This podcast won a award from a site called The Poke. I don't know what that is. Breakfast XFM, it's Danny with Specs on XFM.
It's Danny.
It's Breakfast XFM.
It's Danny.
Yes, we are XFM.
Danny Wallace.
Hello there, welcome to podcast number 33 from the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace. 33, Matt. 30, that's pretty good, isn't it?
All the threes.
Well, two of them at least. Jesus was 33, wasn't he, when he passed, the celebrity carpenter. Yeah. We've made it to 33. And on the 33rd, we've got Ruth Jones, we've got Tim Minchin, Quizface, your hometown slogans, and lots more. He wasn't just a celebrity carpenter, obviously. In you get...
Yes, we are XFM.
Danny Wallace.
This is a terrific headline. Women who've just finished ovulating are best at spotting snakes. How about that?
It's like two separate sentences put together.
It really is. Women who've just finished ovulating are best at spotting snakes. Let's all just think about that. And obviously there are evolutionary...
Right, yeah.
You know, because if you have finished ovulating, then your body is going, well, there could be, you know, chances I've just procreated, there's something growing inside me. So you want to be protecting yourself and that fetus. There's a snake! But it's not often in Britain. I mean, I don't know how this really applies. I mean, I suppose it just means danger, doesn't it? But they've been very specific about the type of danger, and it's snake-based danger. Ooh. So if you've just finished ovulating, why not text us on 8393? I'm not sure we'll get a massive response to that.
XFM.
So this is exciting, Dave, because once again, we are not in the studio. We've left the studio, and we're in a very fancy hotel. Very fancy hotel. It's Mark Wahlberg, ladies and gents, you're a little bit hungover this morning, Mark.
Who is that?
You is.
I don't drink.
Is that right?
That's a lie.
Anymore after last night?
Yes.
Right. Congratulations.
It's called One Night in London.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Hey, congratulations on the new film, Contraband. You play Chris Faraday, a kind of a master smuggler who's left it behind him, but he's kind of pulled in for one
lured
more.
Lured back in for one last
lured in for
job.
One. To kind of help out his family, in a sense.
Yes. His sucking brother-in-law.
I'll be honest, Mark. We may have to bleep certain elements of this interview.
What, brother-in-law? You can't say brother.
Yeah, we were very against
Holy
that.
Holy, man! You can't say brother-in-law on the radio in the UK. Now, Howie.
Why? He's gone off from one. Wahlberg is unstoppable. He's now looking at his people, who look in despair. This uncontrollable film star.
I'm the new Sacha Baron Cohen.
Is that right?
Uncontrollable. Gone mad. Performing tonight with Gary Glitter.
Is that yeah. All the glitter references. Gary Glitter, very big on XFM.
Dirt box.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I'm sensing last night was quite a big night then, Mark.
It was. We've lost
when,
all
when did
control.
Last night end? Was it about an hour ago?
About a half an hour ago.
Really?
No, it's still going. Actually.
That's good.
I had one last drink to level me off.
Yeah, I can tell. You are surrounded by bottles of water, which I assume they're water. It could be gin and vodka for all
no,
I know.
No, we need to hydrate.
Is that what's going
yes,
on?
Yes, with special alkalized water.
Good for you. Contraband, it's a proper action film. It doesn't kind of let up. Are these things important to you?
Yeah, but it was also very important that it has a good balance of character and plot. And, you know, the way this heist is pulled off, I think, is what really appealed to audiences, certainly in the States and hopefully here in the UK.
You know what you were talking like there? You were talking not like the film star, Mark Wahlberg, but the producer.
Yes.
Exactly.
I am more a producer than an actor, that's for sure.
Well, you're becoming more and more known as a producer. I mean, you were a producer on as far back as Boogie Nights or before, weren't you?
Yes.
And things like Entourage, you're an exec producer with those things as well. I mean, why are you doing more and more of that? Is it a
obviously
control thing?
It gives you a lot more creative control, yes. Yeah. And it's a double paycheck.
Is that right?
No, but also it affords me a lot more time at home. But creatively, I would much rather have the control. And, you know, if a movie is a success, then you can obviously take all the credit. And if it's not, you don't blame anybody else other than yourself. And at some point, I just needed to, you know, to be in control of my own destiny.
Mark, will you stick around for one more bit on the XFM Breakfast Show?
I'm not going anywhere, babe. We got a big bag of you're getting crazy.
All on your edgy XFM.
XFM.
A man's been mugged by a fox. Whoa. That's also happened. I don't know why his weight is so important, but almost everything in this story refers to the fact this man is 15 stones.
Oh,
as if there's a cut-off for being mugged by a fox.
Yeah.
And they even call him Burly. The poor fella, he's already got like a tabloid nickname. Burly's Seb Baker told yesterday how he was mugged by a fox, which nabbed garlic bread from his shopping. The 15-stone civil servant was cornered after going to Tesco. The terrified Seb, 29, tried to fight off the beast by swinging his shopping bag. But the fox, get this, was unfazed. He said, "I had expected it to run away. I thought a fox would be scared of a 15-stone man." Mm. Is this the only thing going on in his life, that he's 15 stone? He seems weirdly proud. And just
he does seem to like to talk about it.
A reasonably, mildly just above average weight.
Yeah.
So anyway, this fox, this thing happened, and someone from some kind of wildlife expert called John Bryant gives tips. And fire safety, Matt, you'll enjoy this. In fact, you might want to write this down as well. If a fox is jumping at your shopping bag, you need to shout at it, not just hand over the food. And he says the best thing is to use a water pistol. So we're now being told to carry water pistols
at all times
in case we're mugged by a fox for our shopping.
It's useful for putting out small fires as well.
Yeah, that's true.
He brings it all come back to fire safety with you.
XFM.
You're back with the XFM Breakfast Show. Mark Wahlberg has calmed down. Nothing to see here.
I'm ready.
On your XFM show. Now, Mark, I mean, you're such a kind of physical actor as well. You're always in shape. Are you ever bored of being in shape? Would you ever rather play maybe a narcoleptic or a couch potato, something like that?
For sure. I actually played both in my next movie, Seth MacFarlane's directorial debut.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
What is that?
Couch potato.
Right. Okay. Good.
For real.
Oh, you do.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah. And
I've got destiny and control.
Smoke pot and hang with my teddy bear.
Really.
Yeah.
What's this called?
Ted.
Ted.
It's awesome.
Really?
Yeah.
It's hard to know what is the drink from last night talking and what is actually your career choices there.
Both.
Really?
Yeah. But no, it's true. And it's a sick, sick movie. I don't know if you've ever seen Family Guy.
Yeah, absolutely. We're big fans over
Seth
here.
Seth MacFarlane is,
he's a genius.
And he's taken it to a whole other level with this movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it a little bit dirty?
A lot dirty.
Well,
teddy bear is sniffing and banging.
The classic Mark Wahlberg film. Now, in terms of your next project, we do a thing on the show called Snap My Pitch Up, where the listeners do their best to take care of our A-list guests, such as yourself, by suggesting perhaps your next career moves, things that you could do. You've completed that already, have you?
Mm-hmm.
Right, okay, so that's in the bag.
Come out in July.
Okay, we could probably push it back, though, couldn't we,
to
fit a few of these in. This is from one of our listeners this morning. This is a show. I think it's a TV program. Mark Wahlberg's dislike for Salzburg. This is a weekly 30-minute show detailing Mark's dislike for the German city in a no-holds-barred rant. If that appeals to you.
I love it. What's this city called?
It's called
Salzburg.
Mark Wahlberg's dislike for Salzburg.
Salzburg, I love it.
Yeah?
Stinks.
We've got Mark Wahlberg's greatest icebergs, where you just travel around the world finding the mightiest iceberg. That's Paul from Putney. He's not really tried there, though, has he?
No.
Mark Wahlbergers. Mark Wahlberg travels around the world drawing crude pictures of different types of burgers on famous landmarks. And this is an ITV3 vehicle. I don't know if you've ever graffitied?
Yes.
You have?
Yes.
Is that a skill you could bring back?
For sure.
Excellent work. So you in?
I'm in.
Which one, the graffiti one or the Salzburg?
I'm going to do it here at the Claridge's.
Good. I do know, I wasn't going to mention it, but he has graffitied over most of the walls here in Claridge's.
I've got a big magic marker.
He really does. I never knew you spelt it that way either.
We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet. XFM.
Dave, name three things, please, that prance.
Three things that prance?
Yeah.
A jester.
Yes.
A clown.
Mm. The shoes are too big for prancing.
Really?
Yeah, they trip.
Okay. And a gnome.
So you've got a gnome.
A gnome, yeah.
You think a gnome prances.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what prancing is?
No. No, I do, but I can't think of the one that you always say, which I was desperately trying to think of.
Harlequin?
No, the other one.
Bavarian minstrel.
Yes,
there you go.
Bavarian minstrel.
A fawn would also prance.
Oh, good.
As well. Austin, Texas. Let's cross to Austin, Texas. Homeless people are being paid to become walking Wi-Fi hotspots.
What?
It's true. Getting money out of this. And they carry a special device with an ad agency t-shirt with the slogan, I'm a 4G hotspot.
Oh, no.
So smartphone and tablet users within 30 feet can suddenly get a connection when they're standing near a homeless gentleman or lady. And they're expected to make a small donation in return, right? It's quite a nice idea. Okay. So just crowds of yuppies. Do we still have yuppies?
Yeah.
I suppose we still have yuppies. Hipsters, let's call them, with their tablets. I'm just going to crowd now around Austin's homeless people. And if the homeless person's got somewhere to go, you know, they're going to walk in somewhere, there's just going to be crowds of people just surrounding them, like Saturn's rings, you know? It's quite nice. So this is a charitable experiment, and it's running during a festival in Austin, Texas. I've been to Austin a few times. It's a very cool place. A bit odd.
Just for South By.
South By Southwest. I wasn't there for that. No, I was there to meet noted conspiracy theorist Alex Jones, who pointed out buildings that looked like owls. They didn't look like owls. I didn't tell him that, of course. I went, yes, there's definitely an owl. Anyway, the weird thing about Austin is its slogan. That's one of the strangest things because, you know, towns and cities, they like to promote themselves around the world, don't they? You've got the one everyone knows is Glasgow.
Smiles better.
Boom, you got it. Yeah. That worked, didn't it?
I loved that one, yeah.
It's a great one. Do we have one for London?
I'm not sure we do, to be fair.
You'd think we'd have one for London.
It's about time we had one.
I mean, London's pretty famous, but it could do with a strap line.
Maybe each borough has their own one.
I think sometimes they do. I love Hackney. I mean, it's a simple one.
I think Brent just has the home of the Wembley Stadium.
They need to try harder, don't they? They need to up their game.
What's Austin's one?
Austin's is Keep Austin Weird. You get people just walking around, which is, and I suppose you would, if you arrived in Austin, you saw big signs going, Keep Austin Weird, and there's 40 or 50 people trailing around after a homeless gentleman with their tablets, you know, you would think this is a bit of an odd place. But it got me thinking, why don't we do this more in Britain? Why don't we do this more up and down the country? We do have Glasgow, of course. What would yours, what would Nottingham be, Matt?
Robins from our hood.
Oh, that's not bad.
That's not bad, is it? Or just come to Nottingham, it's not Derby. I mean, that's our main selling point.
Great. That means a lot to people in Nottingham. We were just laughing along, I guess, because we all identify with local rivalries.
Yeah.
Dave, what would yours be?
Well, I'm from Stockport. I don't know if I've mentioned this before.
You have.
What? Stockport is very famous for its hat museum.
Oh.
Very famous.
Is it going to be hats off?
No, I thought about that. Welcome to the town of Stockport. Hats more like it.
Very nice.
More like it.
The people of Stockport must be celebrating today with this whole cat's hat story.
Yeah.
This is a big day for Dundee. I was born in Dundee, lived there the first 8 years of my life. I've returned there recently. I know kind of what it should be. Dundee, keep your head down and keep walking. That's what should be on all the signs.
We are XFM.
We can welcome now into the studio a great friend of the show, a great friend of XFM, a great friend of mine. It's Mr. Tim Minchin, everybody! He's here! Hi, Tim.
Hi.
You all right?
Yeah, I'm really fine. I'm good, yeah.
You're really fine.
Yeah, it's nice to see you.
It's nice to see you
also. I only see you in soundproof boxes these days.
We've limited our friendship to soundproof boxes.
It's important. No one needs to hear this. Well, except you guys at home.
Yeah, exactly. How are you, Tim, first of all? What's my first question?
I'm good, I think.
Yeah.
I'm healthy.
Yes.
And my loved ones are healthy.
Yes.
And I can afford food and heating, so
great.
I think that ticks all boxes.
Healthy,
it?
Wealthy, wise.
No, spiritual, nothing spiritual.
No wisdom since
last very much an emptiness in my soul, but it's never been something I've wanted to fill. Yeah. So
keep it light. Yeah. That's my message to you this morning. I say that my next three words are teenage cancer trust.
I guess it is about keeping even that experience light, isn't
absolutely
it?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Teenage cancer trust. The gigs are all next week. There's a bunch of music gigs, but also on the 2nd of April. In a couple of weeks, isn't it? A couple of weeks. You are going to be on the comedy stage along with a host of others.
It's a massive bill. And, I'm sort of bringing a little bit of music to what's meant to be a comedy night, I guess.
Right.
But my music's pretty comic sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, you say that like you don't mean it to be.
Yeah.
Like it's a strange accident.
Yeah. It's nothing to do with me. It's just how people react that makes it comedy.
Is that right?
Yeah. And the Royal Albert Hall is, you know, you should just go and sit in a seat there even if nothing is on.
And you've played there before, haven't you?
Yeah, it's kind of my local gig.
It's just one of the things you do.
That's right. No, it's absolutely beautiful. It's my favourite place.
That's it. What an amazing thing to be able to say, isn't it? Oh, yeah, no, Royal Albert Hall is just my favourite place to gig. I mean, because, you know, I've known you for years and I've seen you do quite intimate gigs. And now it's like O2 and Royal Albert Hall. It's all just kind of, it's all these things.
Yeah, it's got sort of big and obscene. No, it's fine. Albert Hall is, it is a really big gig. And obviously it has a lot of credibility in some way. But it feels really intimate, actually.
That's
what's amazing about it. Yeah. When you're on stage, it does, because everyone's surrounding you in a, like, a coliseum or
staring
something.
Staring at you.
It makes me want to kill a lion.
Right.
Using beat a lion to death with a Christian.
To be honest, you're at the stage now, Tim, where you could probably pitch that and someone would fund it.
Yeah, that's
you, you could just walk in. What do you want to do, Tim? Yeah, I want to club a lion to death on stage at the Royal Albert Hall. How much do you need? We've done the artwork.
Yeah. Well, the Tories would say, yeah, well, that sounds populist.
Yeah, let's do it. You look a little bit like a lion sometimes as well.
Thanks, I guess.
Yeah.
Only when I'm tearing the throat out of something.
That hasn't happened in weeks. The other thing, I mean, Matilda, what a huge success story that is. And I'll tell you what, these guys here, I never really see them particularly excited. They're quite a downbeat bunch, which is unusual for breakfast radio. But they went all out last night on like a boys' trip to see Matilda.
Oh, really?
They were in this morning. They're all into musical theatre now. They were all just kind of waving their hands and...
Yeah, doing jazz hands.
Absolutely. They're full of questions for you. I mean, you take it away, guys. What questions you got?
Well, which one I wanted was about the lighting effects. I thought it was hilarious.
The set was great. Amazing.
The music was absolutely
the
remarkable.
The came out of the stage, at the bottom of the stage. The
don't know if you can address any of those.
It's all it's magic. Yeah, we did it with magic.
Genuinely, that's massively, massively excited. I will give you one thing. I mean, at the end, everyone was up and applauding on their feet, apart from Matt Dyson there.
Oh,
what happened? Why didn't you get up?
No, I thought, because I had just put my hands up. I put my hands in the air like that.
Yeah.
And I thought that'll do.
I thought that was enough. Not everyone.
Sometimes when you wake up in the morning, you think, I'm not going to get out of bed. I'm just going to put my hands and wave my hands in the air. That's like being out of bed.
I loved it. I was beaming.
Why didn't you stand up? Why didn't you stand up then? You loved it.
It was so emotionally drained. Emotionally drained.
This isn't just raising your elbows like that. It's not We Will Rock You.
No, because I could have clapped down.
Tim spent ages writing the music for this extraordinarily well-received production. You can't even stand up.
Yeah.
Disgust me.
The whole thing, weirdly, is written in a key centre that creates a certain type of pitch vibration that inspires people's knees to expand and make them stand
up. Yeah. Oh, right.
And you've just rendered the whole experiment
useless.
I don't know why I bother. Why do I bother?
It's like a Horizon documentary, this. This is the XFM Breakfast Show. And we have asked you this morning to give us your slogans, you know, things that celebrate the place you're from or the area in which you live, in the way that Austin, Texas proudly says, keep Austin weird. And man, hundreds of you wanting to get involved just to truly celebrate these places. Jay, who's bearing up in Erith, is it Erith or Erith?
Erith.
Jay, well, he just says, Danny, I can't take credit for this, but I'm also unable to recall who said it. Erith isn't twinned with a town. It has a suicide pact with Stockholm. that's lovely. Anna says, Berkshire is full of Berks. Katie in Cambridge says, Cambridge is full of punts. Someone just says, Basingstoke? More like Amazing Stoke.
Amazing Stoke.
Leatherhead, where dreams go to die. Denim Barking says, Barking, where a pizza is only a phone call away. Wow, that's the best thing about Bark.
You can take the boy out of Dagenham to give him a start in life. Hackney, it could be worse, you could be dead.
Right.
Confirm listener Tom.
What about confirm listener Adele? What's yours?
At least it's not Nottingham or Derby.
In your face, Nottingham boy. Elephant and Castle. Even the castle in the title can't make this place fancy. Basingstoke, it says, where the gene pool shallows. That's from Dave, who is in Basingstoke, but not for much longer, I imagine. He's on his way out.
Hoddesdon.
Yeah.
No one knows we're here.
Oh,
Gareth.
Poor Hoddesdon.
Town slogan for the territory of Thurrock.
Yeah.
Keep driving.
Just keep going. Slough. Like Detroit. But awful. Romford, as seen on Crime Watch. I'm realising a lot of these are anonymous, and I'm realising exactly why. Yorkshire Grey, what about yours?
Ramsgate, a beauty spot on the butt cheek of Britain.
Right, Ramsgate. These are marvellous. We should be writing these down. This is a coffee table book, not a texter. X!
F.
XFM. Do you think in your news report there, which I was paying attention to as normal, just staring at you, do you think David Cameron was a bit disappointed at this whole White House dinner thing? You know, because he's there, he's in America, it's a big time for him. I mean, it's in the basketball, and it's like, you know, Prime Minister, this is Kerry Mulligan, British. Yeah. He's like, oh, God. One of them meet Nicolas Cage, you know. What's the music? It's Mumford and Sons. Oh, for goodness. Cinema, I want the Chili Peppers. And Obama stands up and goes, okay, it's time for the comedy now. Please welcome the Chuckle Brothers. XFM. Tim Minchin, everybody. He's still here. You're providing your own backing audience now.
Yeah.
Fall on hard times.
Yeah.
Matt really should have stood up there and applauded.
Yeah.
Once again, laughing in your face, Tim. Yeah. Matilda the musical's going great guns. In fact, I don't know, you know, fingers crossed for this morning. I know you won't want to talk about it very much, but the Olivier Awards nominations are announced today, aren't they? And Matilda's been nominated for pretty much everything so far and won a ton of them as well. Olivier Awards, you know, we want to cover it in the news later on, whatever happens. So would you mind saying something along the lines of, first of all...
Okay, so we need to put a couple in the can, a couple of responses.
Alternative versions,
I guess...
Let's do winning first.
Okay, winning first. Oh, well, like getting nominated.
Getting nominated.
Because it's a month away, the actual award.
Yeah, okay. It's just like, it's a great honour.
I'll come back in for that.
Okay.
all right, so we're just so grateful to be nominated. You know, any recognition is fantastic, and just getting this far is more than I could have dreamed of.
Brilliant. We can use that for any nominations, can't we? And now can we do something along the lines of... I think that judging art is fundamentally wrong and awards are divisive.
So if we don't get nominated, it's more...
A scathing attack on the world of awards.
Yeah, the thing is with awards is they don't really matter because they're not the people, and what I care about is entertaining the people. I mean, who cares what a whole lot of highfalutin snobs think about my art that I've spent my life creating with my soul.
Good.
Thanks.
In your face, Olivier. Well, we don't know. We'll find out today and we'll use those later on the programme.
Yeah.
But it's clear. Clearly going to get nominated for everything it can do.
Yeah, best theatre, best dance, best spoken word poetry,
best use of a girl's name in a title.
Yeah,
all those.
Yeah,
Tim, your tour, it's enormous. You're going on pretty much every festival. I mean, is it a tour? It's not really a tour.
It's what you do when you don't have a tour.
It's a series of festivals. Yeah,
I've got a band, a sort of four piece, and I'm going to be doing a lot of these festivals with a band and just. Trying to do big, stupid, rocking comedy.
Get back to your roots, but enhancing it slightly with a band.
It'll still be stupid, but only because I don't know how to not be. Some of the Henley stuff I'm using an orchestra. I'm using Alfie Bowes Orchestra.
Are you?
Yeah.
Great.
I don't know if they know what's coming.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. That's at Henley. So you can, people can basically this summer just check out Stupid Tim Minchin.
Yeah.
So, your words, not mine.
Okay.
Tim, marvellous pleasure to see you, as always. And just finally as well, I mean, with the success of Matilda, you must be getting asked to do a lot of adaptations of musicals, books, films, anything like that. Is there anything you can tell us, or is it all secret?
I guess it's all secret only because I don't know. There are lots of really fun and interesting sort of ideas, and it's very hard to pick what would be good on stage.
My advice, Gremlins 2, the new batch.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Gremlins 2, the new batch, the musical.
Yeah.
That's more dashes than
couple
most
of colons. Yeah, absolutely.
Couple of colons.
You could have Gizmo's Ballad. That's as far
is
as I've
Gizmo
got.
Is Gizmo in the second one?
I don't actually know.
No.
Well, keep it locked to XFM and we'll find out whether Gremlins 2, the new batch, will be Tim Minchin's next project. XFM. Shall we do the good news, everybody? See ya. Well, I wonder what topics we'll cover this morning. I wonder where we'll fly, metaphorically. Matt.
Good news, guys. I witnessed a strange dreamlike TV special last night.
Mm-hmm.
An EastEnders Red Button Extra after the soap's traditional slot.
It's what we've been crying out for in this country.
It's called Phil on Remand. Phil on Remand.
Not on demand.
No, on remand.
Yeah. Wow.
On demand may have made more sense. But, looking at life behind bars for Walford Hardman, Phil Mitchell.
Great.
It featured some strange music, arty slow-mos. It was slightly different, like a late-night Hollyoaks. And I wonder if...
Are you on medication?
Really happen, or if I dreamed it, because I did eat a lot of feta cheese last night. And I sort of went on to dream that I was in the yard with Phil Mitchell myself, but I'm pretty sure it happened.
You're listening to XFM. What are you talking about?
Yeah. That's my good news.
So this may have been a feta-based hallucination
but I think
of a red button EastEnders special called Phil on Remand.
It's an appeal for confirmation that it did really happen.
83936, if you also witnessed. I mean, I'd be surprised if we got more than one viewer, and that viewer was you. Good news, guys. I've made Facebook friends with work experience Steve. Meaning I can now experience the real Steve, the true Steve, because Steve is, he's a mystery, he's an enigma, he's a riddle wrapped up in a puzzle, wrapped up in the cast of The Inbetweeners. But now I feel I have the measure of the man, a handle on him, a grasp, if you will, an understanding, an idea, a hint of a rumour, of a cousin, of a moment of enlightenment concerning our Billy Ricky Nitwit. It's the details on his page that give us the insight, the video of cute fox licking a window he put up there to show his sensitive side. Another video, of course, of a golden retriever enjoying a guitar. And it's amazing to see how work experience Steve has grown in his tastes. Now, in 2012, his likes include To Kill a Mockingbird, Bob Dylan, and H.G. Wells. But in just 2009, Steve's only like was Domino's Pizza. The fact is, he's growing right in front of our very eyes. So here's to you, Steve. You're our little Billy Ricky pizza, and you're adding new toppings every day.
Good news.
Good news, everybody.
We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet. XFM.
Good morning, it's the XFM Breakfast Show. My name's Danny Wallace. And we've been talking all this week, have we not, Matt Dyson, about women who rock. It's the new sort of poll. We did Frontman last week. It's women who rock. In the studio today, we have a woman who rocks in a different way.
Yeah, well, comedy is often talked about as being the new rock and roll.
Yes, by people with no imagination. It's Ruth Jones, everybody. Here she is. Hi, Ruth. Hi. How's it going?
I love being called a rock. Can I be a rock chick?
If you'd like, yes. Yeah, any of those you can have. You can be a woman who rocks, a rock chick, any of those things. Rock climber?
Oh, I don't think you'll ever find me being a rock climber.
Really?
No.
Why is this? What have you got against our...
I just think I would fall and hurt myself quite severely.
Please don't do that.
So, yeah.
All right, we'll stop short of rock climb. Okay. We'll stop at rock chick.
Thank you.
Congratulations on Stella. A second series already commissioned, am I right?
Yes, indeed.
The DVD out now.
The DVD is out now. It's a fantastic Mother's Day present.
Of course, it's Mother's Day this week, isn't it?
Yes.
On Sunday, I imagine, traditionally.
Yes.
So you're saying that all gentlemen and ladies should buy Stella on DVD for all mothers?
I think so. I think it's the only gift one should buy.
It's quite a cheap present if you're Ruth Jones.
Do you think?
Yeah, you can't, you can't get away with giving your mum a copy of your own DVD.
My mother pre-ordered her DVD.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. I said, please don't, because I will get you one for free.
You can get like 6-7 copies free, can't you?
She can watch them all at the same time. she's bought one, so I can't get her one for Mother's Day.
Tell us about Stella.
Okay, well, it's a 10-part series for Sky.
Make it sound more exciting than that.
Oh, it's got steam engines in it.
There you go. Big fan of the golden age of steam here on XFM.
Called Stella the Steed.
Yes.
It's set in the South Wales Valleys. I play Stella. She's a 40-something mum. It's not really a high concept, but it's character-led comedy, which
sure.
is my thing.
Well, it's the best kind of comedy. Because
do you think?
I think so, yeah. I think... comedy that comes from the way real people talk, not kind of over-elaborate situations, but the real things that people talk about in the way they talk about. I realise, obviously, parts of Stella are heightened and some of the characters are unusual.
Yes.
The man who we can never understand for one reason.
Yes, that's Daddy.
Brave casting there with that man who one can understand. Because he must have been going like, well, I presume he's reading the lines properly.
Do you know what? I was thinking about this the other day. You're referring to the character of Daddy.
For those
people who haven't seen him, he is an octogenarian undertaker.
Yeah.
Nobody who watches it can understand him, but everybody in the world of Stella can understand him.
Yeah.
So you'll have situations where he'll be talking to a policeman and he'll say, and the police officer will say, not at the moment, Daddy, but I'll get back to you on that.
Yeah, exactly.
What I love is that when he comes on, my dad always turns to my mum and goes, what did he say? You're not meant to be. Yeah,
exactly.
But when we were casting that part, Howell Evans, who is in his 80s, who was just immense, and he actually was the only person we saw for that part.
Because really?
He was so good.
He just nailed it.
He was brilliant. But it just dawned on me, you don't really need a Welsh person to play it.
No, exactly.
But we did. He is Welsh.
Well, it's attention to detail, Ruth. That's what you're good at. How do you write? Like, do you, I mean, are you a great one for, say, sitting on a bus or a train and taking down notes when you hear people say sentences?
I do that all
the time. I bet you do. I knew that would be true about
it's
you.
Awful. I heard a woman the other day, she said, she said to her friend, she went, well, you are a lot more adventurous than me with cheese, aren't you?
How lovely.
Adventurous with cheese.
But immediately you know all about her and you know all about her friends and their expectations and the things they find exciting. I was once, I overheard a man, it's the most middle-class thing I'd ever heard in my life. I think he was talking about, say, like the Wagamama experience or something where you're sitting on a table and there's loads of other people there that you don't know. And he just went, of course, I was uncomfortable at first, but soon I found myself folded into the cultural melee. XFM. This is good, Matt. You're going to enjoy this. You know the national anthem of Kazakhstan?
Well, not word for word, but yeah.
But you've got a basic grasp of it.
Yeah.
It's one of the great anthems, isn't it?
Yeah.
The Kazakhstan. It's inspiring. There's a touch of impish humour in there. Let's remind ourselves of what it is. Here it is. See? Got a bearded, sort of baritoned Kazakh.
Yeah.
Waving, using his arms. They always use their arms a lot, don't they?
Yeah.
Singing about how brave and great they are. Well, there was a ski race. There was a ski race, okay? And as is traditional, you know, with large gatherings of people, they wanted to salute the Kazakh flag and sing the Kazakhstan national anthem, okay?
Yeah.
So that's what everyone's saying, and the announcer at this ski race said, everyone, eyes on the flag of the Republic of Kazakhstan. The anthem of the Republic of Kazakhstan is beginning. And everyone sort of, they put their hands on their hearts, you know, and as the proud Kazakhs, they stand there, their eyes are on the flag, the sun is just catching the flagpole, there's a sense of deep pride kind of brewing in their hearts, man, a feeling that this moment, this second in time, this second in history could be the most important of their lives, Matt. Mm. As a man presses play, and as they stand there, their eyes on the flag, their hands on their heart, the anthem, the glorious anthem, begins. That's Ricky Martin!
Oh, no.
Quick, press play! Oops. And then you get the glorious thing. Oh, see, they were just standing there saluting the glory of Ricky Martin.
Living la vida loca.
It was, wasn't it? They were. They live in life on the edge in that way. Have you ever had any sort of public embarrassments, Matt?
Anything wrong button, yeah. I've pressed the wrong button on a PA system before myself.
Have you?
At a Nottingham Forest game, we used to DJ at match days.
Yeah.
And the ref blew the whistle. I thought it was half time. It wasn't half time. He was blowing for a free kick. So I played the music, the funky house bed for half time scores, and it blasted out around the whole stadium.
Oh, wow, that's big.
And put players off.
That's a big button-based...
It was a similar mistake, yeah.
Faux pas. Wasn't a sense of national pride, though, that you destroyed these people by playing Ricky Martin. Dave, anything that happened to you, button-based or otherwise?
Not button-based, although I'm sure I have on this show a few times with the buttons. But no, when I was in my brass band at school, I used to play the drums.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't realise I was inching towards the back of the stage, and then I just fell off the back of the stage in front of about 300 proud parents.
Like a proper you've been framed moment.
Yeah, I just took the drum kit with me, so that made a nice racket as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Destroying the hopes and dreams of children there, Dave, with that. Those are terrible, those are terrible. Mine really, I mean, I've got a plethora, I've got far too many to go into, but I do remember at school there being, and this wasn't my sort of faux pas, but I remember it did affect me in some ways, because it was speeches, and they were giving all these speeches, and a teacher that I'd known for a long time, you know, throughout my school career, just kept referring to me as Derek Wallace. Derek!
Wow.
And everyone just kept turning at me, and he didn't know what was going on. It was fine. So really, I was the only person to suffer there. It wasn't like you destroying a football team's dreams. It wasn't like you destroying the dreams of children. It wasn't even like these Kazakhstan people destroying the hopes and dreams of the Kazakhstan people. But it wasn't great. We are... What the heck happened? What the heck happened? When we weren't doing our good news, a strange look sort of waved across Dave's face. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
And then in my peripheral vision, I could make out some men. There were some men standing, looking at us through the glass. But I didn't turn around. And what were these men doing?
Well, it was three men in suits.
Three men in suits?
Yeah, they came in outside the studio door.
And had you ever seen these men before, these men in suits?
I hadn't seen them before, but they looked important.
Well, they were wearing suits.
Yeah, they looked very important indeed.
Yeah, what did they do?
They started dusting.
They started dusting?
Yeah, they just started dusting the printer outside the door and then dusted our big window here that looks out from the studio.
Did they look in your eyes even once?
No.
Three men in suits walked in, started dusting, and then what, wordlessly left?
Yeah, then walked out again.
Were they talking to each other, these men?
No.
So they walked in, didn't refer to each other once, these men in suits, dusted our window, and then all turned around and walked out again.
Yeah.
What's going on here?
It's weird.
It's like Men in Black or something.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know, what's happening? XFM. Good morning, you're with the XFM Breakfast Show. Our guest remains with us. It's the marvellous Ruth Jones. And I was wondering, because you played Hattie, didn't you? Hattie
yes.
Jakes in a...
Did you watch that?
I was away at the time, but I remember seeing all the...
Do you always say that when you haven't seen... You've got a guest
No,
on.
I was away. I was away for 4 months.
Plus things now, Danny.
I was in America. I was away for 4 months, but I was looking on Twitter, and Twitter had gone crazy at that point. And it seemed to me like a biopic that went down extraordinarily well. I was wondering if there was going to be a biopic about you, but obviously you would want to be involved. Who would you like to play... Who would be playing you in a film of your life?
Mm.
Pretty good, yeah?
Very, very good. It's got to be...
Almost existential.
Wow.
It's got to be Seaside J, isn't it?
Seaside J?
No, CZJ.
Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. You'd play Catherine Zeta-Jones playing you in the film of your life?
No, Catherine Zeta-Jones would play me.
But then you would have to play her in this biopic, which is a Catherine Zeta-Jones biopic, which covers the years she was covering you.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Oh, my gosh, that is really existential.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Welcome to XFM.
XFM.
I think this whole Obama and Cameron thing is lovely.
Isn't it?
Following the story of the
bromance. Yeah.
The bromance that's going on. Have you got that clip again? Just the first bit? Hang on. Where is it?
In good times and in bad, he's just the kind of partner that you want at your side.
Is he making a speech there, or is he writing something for mysinglefriend.com?
XFM.
Let's get quizzical.
Quiz face.
And... For this week's quiz face, Peter, we travel across the water many thousands of miles in an old car, it seems, past the East China Sea to the easternmost country on the Indochina Peninsula. China to the north of me, Laos to the northwest. Here I am, stuck in the middle of the Socialist Republic of Vietnam, often confused with Tottenham, of course. But where in Vietnam exactly are we? And when? Hanoi. The 1920s of the 20th century. An unusual maverick chef notices his beef and noodle soup looks a little lackluster. A customer complains and he is spurred into action, madly improvising, offering the customer various ingredients he can add himself right at the table. And thus, Peter, Pho was born. The dish which would come to define a nation. That's right. Let's play... Faux quizzle.
Faux quizzle.
Not to be confused, of course, with a folk whistle. A whistle often used in folk music. Peter, let's do this.
Dinner is served.
Peter, let's play Dinner is Served. Now, there are many different types of faux, of course, from chicken to beef and back again. Now, we can play faux toe finish, if you like, a round involving faux and toes through the ages. Or... Let's make this tense. For 6 points, Peter. 6 points straight off the bat. Do you want to double Danny?
Always double Danny.
Always double Danny.
Danny Doubler.
Nice move, Peter. Let's double the Dannys available in this round.
Hello, Danny. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you for joining us. Welcome along. Over to you, other Danny.
Okay, you have doubled the Dannys.
Yeah.
Now you can either play faux beer,
yep,
a round based on faux beer and phobias.
Good pun.
Or you can double the Dannys you've already been lucky enough to experience.
So what would you like to do, Peter? Would you like to double Danny again?
Double Danny again, please.
Double Danny, he says. Okay.
Double Danny.
Here we go. All right, Peter, you're up to four Dannys. You've double Dannys. Let's welcome two more Dannys to Faux Quizzle.
Thank you.
Cheers, good to be here.
Good to have you here. And of course, the other Danny is still with us as well. Hi.
Yes, I am still here. Hi.
Good, good. Over to you then, Peter. You can either play round three, Faux, which is based on popular mispronunciations of the word Pope, or you can double Dannys a third time.
Tough decision, but I'm going to have to double Danny.
He's double Danny.
How long can this go on?
Absolutely. Well, we are up to eight Dannys now. Hello, the Dannys.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Boom.
Yeah. Good to be here. Hi.
Easy now.
Easy yourself. It's time for goodness sake, designed to tenuously link this back to the original theme of popular Vietnamese cuisine. Dannys, I don't know if you can knock together quickly, just improvise a kind of an a cappella tension bed, if you will, something like that. Can you? Great. Great, this is perfect. Keep that going. This all boils down to one big question, Peter. One big question that only you can answer. All the Dannys are currently involved in a seven-piece harmony. Let's just enjoy this for a second. It's great. So...
What will they do?
So while they're doing that, let's bring it down now, Dannys. Because they're involved in that, let's cross now to the Matt Dysons. Matt Dysons, what's the question?
Can you complete
the well-known phrase?
We are.
Peter?
XFM.
Yay! One man took them all on.
That's great.
Everyone's very... It's a very packed studio here, Peter, I'll be honest. Everyone is hugely happy about your triumph this morning, Peter.
XFM.
Matt, Fire Safety Matt, you went to Thorpe Park last night
with
work experience Steve.
Yeah, we went together.
Of course you did. I mean, why wouldn't two men just go to Thorpe Park to hang out? Did you get a balloon, that kind of stuff?
There was balloons and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, and you went there because you went to try a new ride.
The Swoom.
The Swoom.
Yeah.
What is it?
I don't know. It's a roller coaster.
Yeah.
But its theme is ambiguous. It's...
Because you were trying to describe what the theme of this thing was, and it sounded vaguely apocalyptic.
We got there, and there's a red carpet you walk up.
Yes.
And then there's army men.
Soldiers, we call them.
Soldiers, army men.
In the grown-up community.
Right, army men.
Yeah.
And they're kind of rushing you up over the bridge. Like, come on, with guns, and they're, like, shooting over your head and stuff.
Right.
And then you go through this next bit, and there's all these, like, people, like, in this, like... field hospital, like with heads missing, like, and then suddenly they jump out at you.
Keep it light. What's the danger? What's the danger though? Why are there army men, as you say? Why are they hurrying you?
I think it's some kind of army invasion, or no,
army invasion,
an army there to protect you.
A war.
I don't know what's going on. And then you got on a roller coaster.
Do you think I'm seven or something? Why are you talking about army men and army invasion?
It's how I can think about it in my head.
Also, why are you going to Thorpe Park? have you been to Thorpe? I went to. I suppose the last theme park I went to was the American Adventure in the late 1980s in Derbyshire.
Respect.
Thank you. But I mainly went on the Viking boat.
Yeah.
Which I don't remember seeing in many Wild West films.
It had the biggest drop on a log flume in the whole of Europe at the time.
Boom. Facts.
American Adventure. Last I went to Thorpe Park, though.
What other breakfast show has just given you that bit of information?
They had a weird, you know, one of those things that you walk around where there's out-of-work actors trying to scare you.
What?
Yeah, it's like a maze. What do they call them? They're like a maze. You're like, you know, it's like
a horror maze.
The London Dungeon, but it's in a theme park and it's a horror maze.
A horror maze?
So there was like, it was for Saw, so there was like scenes of torture happening all around you.
Am I in a dream?
People
what are you talking? I thought these places were supposed to be fun. He's got weird army men and invasions. You're talking about a horror maze? What is this? Where's the fun?
Thorpe Park's a crazy place.
How do you know when you do you know when you've left Thorpe Park? I mean, what if there's just something horrifying happens?
It stays with you, man.
Thorpe Park it stays with you. I've never been on a roller coaster.
What?
I know, I know. I've never been on a roller coaster. I can't even say it. That's how little they mean to me. Never been on a roller coaster in my life. Also, until recently, I'd never eaten a prawn. I was so stupid. I'm such an idiot. I ate a prawn, or at least I took a bite out of a prawn, meaning that the most interesting thing about me is now no more. I can no longer say, I can say to people, I've eaten half a prawn, but, you know, they glaze over and they walk away from me quite quickly. What have you never done that you should have done as a 58-year-old man?
I've never watched an episode of Family Guy. This is a popular cultural phenomenon that's passed
never
me by.
Family Guy.
Yeah, I've never watched it.
Okay.
And now I feel it's too late because there's too many episodes.
I feel that way.
I haven't got time to catch up on all of them. I've given up on it.
I feel that way about The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Because it's just too much. It's just overwhelming. There's too many of them. But Steve Harris has never watched The Simpsons. He's also never had a curry, is that right?
Correct, yeah.
Why has he never had a curry?
Or been in the sea. Is that correct?
Yeah, or ridden a bike. He's never ridden a bike.
That's true. He's never ridden a bike or been in the sea.
Grew up in a box.
This kid hasn't lived. We are
XFL. Faux Quizzle.
Hello, I'm confirmed Mr. Peter. And so am I. And we just won Faux Quizzle and dealt with 8 Dannys. Yes, we did. Well said, me. Thank you. Thank me. No problem. Thank you, Chris Face. Thank you, Danny Wallace's. We
are XFM. Ruth Jones was nice, wasn't she?
Lovely.
Ruth Jones, terrific work. Now, there's a well-known London listings magazine, Matt.
Yeah.
That sometimes I take time out to read, right? I'm not going to mention any names. Sometimes I do that, you know?
Okay.
And they deliver weirdly. If you subscribe to them, they deliver separately, right? So the postman arrives, it's not there, and then suddenly it rocks up. Guess what time they delivered this copy of a magazine, this week's magazine, to my house?
I'd imagine around 7 o'clock at the earliest in the morning.
That's what you would think, isn't it? Yeah. Mm. 9 minutes to 3 a.m. 9 minutes to 3 in the morning, like a van rocks up, clatters through my gut. Not the van, a man gets out of the van, clatters through, gates of plenty, boom, through the doors, clatters away, roars off into the night. What's going on with that? Take time out, dude. That's what I'm saying. I may have given it away quite easily. You see, that was a story from my life.
It was an interesting little anecdote, though.
Thank you. Thank you. An interesting little anecdote. You know what's coming now, don't you?
Yeah, I think so.
You've just realised.
Yeah.
When poor Ruth Jones was here, and we were chatting away, as we were, you know, off-air, between segments, if you will, we were having a chat, and Matt here went into quite a lot of detail, into a story that Ruth didn't really need to know about. Look at him, he's just realised. Didn't you? And we've got it. I mean, we were recording at the time the mics were up. So, I say story, that might be taking a bit too far. This is what happened.
My dad stayed at Fleet Services the other night.
Really? I never mentioned this. Yeah. They were £26 a night, of course.
They were supposed to be seeing my brother and then going back down to Exeter. My brother cancelled and they said, let's just stay in Fleet Services anyway.
Yeah.
It's like a night out.
Ruth, we are a lot more entertaining on air. So what happened at Fleet? I mean, you know.
Well, they stayed at Fleet. They had a great time. I was really telling you in relation to the mention of the M3.
Save this stuff for on air, man. You know, don't waste it off air. We are XFM. Pope Benedict the 16th. Big celebrity, isn't he? Big celebrity.
What's he been up to now? On another red carpet. Spilling out of a nightclub.
He's never out of heat, is he, that guy?
Oh, yeah.
Never out of heat. Spotted Pope Benedict XVI outside Cottage Chicken in Dalston. That kind of thing, isn't it? After Sarah Jessica Parker, Eva Mendes and Katy Perry, comes the Pope, of course. I think in all our minds.
Oh, yeah.
It's those four, isn't it? Mm. He's got his own signature aftershave.
Oh, I see.
It's been created for the leader of the world's 1.2 billion Catholics. It's quite a big market, isn't it?
Yeah,
For that. Because I think if there's one thing, if you ask anyone, you know, we all essentially want to smell like an 84-year-old German. And that's That's what they've tapped into. Yeah. They've gone, there's 1.2 billion of them. Everyone wants to smell like an octogenarian. Bavarian. Octogenarian Bavarian. Yeah. That should be what it's called.
They've got a slogan.
Well, they haven't got a name for it. That's the thing. I mean, Britney Spears, she had Midnight Fantasy. Not appropriate for the Pope. Diavolo, meaning devil. That was for Antonio Banderas. Again, not appropriate. They don't really know what to call it. They've come up with a, you know, couple of basics. The guy who's invented it has come up with water of hope and water of faith. But I mean, that's not sexy. The Pope's a sexy guy. He wears that red Panama hat, doesn't he, sometimes?
Yeah, yeah.
He's not allowed to be eccentric. That's the thing about being a Pope. You've got to toe the line.
Right, yeah.
And so he's got that, he wears that red Panama hat sometimes. Quite eccentric, kind of odd look. And they're claiming it's a kind of, oh no, that's a church hat. It's not. We've all seen a red Panama hat before. That's what he's doing. So I don't know what they're going to call this. This Pope Benedict thing. Dave's got a... You put your hand up.
What about Pope Paris?
That's pretty good.
That's good.
That's pretty good. And what, and you, it would come with sort of some pot pourri.
Yeah, maybe that you could
traditionally
place...
you'd find in your friend's mum's toilets in the 80s.
Well, he could place one in his toilet, but also have it in an aftershave form as well.
Really?
Yeah.
So it would
smell
be...
in his house and on his body when he leaves the house.
Wow. So his toilet water would turn out to be holy water as well.
Yes.
Yeah. I was thinking Popey, a bit like Popeye. Because it would be the children's market. You know, you go for that. The children's aftershave market, I think, is untapped. you never, your kids, I mean, there's always that kid at school, wasn't there? Like the first one at my school, it was Shane Kiley. First one to wear aftershave.
Yeah,
it's like, you're 14.
Yeah.
You've got no requirement to have aftershave.
Yeah, you got a high karate gift set for Christmas.
It was Kouros in this case.
Kouros.
He was also the first kid to get a mobile phone at my school.
Oh, wow.
Which is pointless because no one else had one. Who was he calling? No one to call. None of us. And it was in the days where we all thought that making a mobile phone call cost about £9 a minute. What's going on with Shane's got aftershave and a massive mobile phone?
Wow.
He's going to start a little company or something.
I wonder what he's up to now.
I don't know. I think he's a physical education teacher. He was very good at football. Anyway, we're talking a bit too much about Shane Kiley, a man I literally haven't seen or spoken about in 20 years.
We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet.
XFM. Here's my angry nerd rant. Hey, Baco Rainbow Snack Bags. I think you're pretty clever, don't you? You've taken the small, resealable bag market by storm, don't you? Quite pleased with yourself, yeah? Got your own printed characters on the front nowadays. Oh, well done. Scruffs the dog. Yeah, that works. He's scruffy. Yeah, well done. Charlie the monkey. Why not? Charlie works in terms of sort of an implied alliterative matching with the word cheeky. Monkeys are cheeky. That works. But Woody the hedgehog? Really? What were you guys thinking? What were you drinking at your company away day? Why have you called a hedgehog Woody? So I imagine you think it's because he lives in the woods. There are two types of hedgehog Baco Rainbow Snack Bags, the European and the desert. Now, I'm guessing Woody is not a desert hedgehog because of your crudely drawn picture. It does appear greater than 7 to 9 inches and with lesser spine distribution. But if it's European, then Woody, as you insist on calling him, must have dry shelters on well-drained soil. That sound like a British woodland to you? Come on, guys. You might have thought no one would notice, but this is the XFM Breakfast Show. Concentrate on the easy-to-write-on panels and on making your snack bags freezer-ready, which, of course, they aren't at this stage. Just my little tip, all right? We are... Should we do this, Matt? Should we do this?
Yeah.
This is going to be tense, you know? This is going to be very tense.
It's a big deal, this.
We asked you about things you've never done, and we got a text, didn't we, from Gorilla, confirmed listener Gorilla, who has never said the word Massachusetts. She's worried. He's worried about getting it wrong in polite society. You know, he doesn't want to embarrass himself or show himself up or embarrass his family.
It's a city that often crops up in conversation, and he always shies away from it.
More of a state.
Oh, sorry, yes, it is a state.
But what we'll do is we'll try and get him to do that now. Gorilla, are you there?
I'm here, yes.
Are you nervous? How are you feeling?
I'm terrified.
You should
be. It's the whole nation now.
Well, yeah, you've never said this word. Did I hit the nail on the head, Gorilla? Is it just that you're worried about showing you or your family up in polite society by not saying this word correctly?
Pretty much, yeah. I could damage the reputation of the whole nation in front of an American, even.
Well, you could. It could lead to some form of diplomatic crisis, couldn't it?
That's it.
So let's put this to bed. Let's lay this ghost to rest. As I ask you, Gorilla.
Yeah.
To say the word Massachusetts. Now, this sounds like like the worst quiz ever, doesn't it? can you repeat a word I'm saying? But Gorilla, just take a deep breath. Just think about it. Roll it around in your head a little bit. Only say it when you're ready to say it. Don't rush into it. Don't worry about it. We'll all wait. We're right behind you. Everyone's behind you here at XFM, Global Radio, and in Britain. Gorilla, say the word Massachusetts.
Massachusetts.
He's done it!
Wow.
He's done it.
Wow.
That was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
XFM. Let's have a look at what we've learned today, Dave. Danny Analytics. In Danny Analytics. David.
Well, we plunged a little deeper into our listeners' lives this morning as we learnt a great deal about confirmed listener Mark's eating habits and routines. Last night he played it safe, of course, with a sausage pasta dish. No dessert, mind. Never desserts on Tuesdays for Mark.
No.
Tonight he's opting for the slightly more worldly culinary option of chicken passanda.
Chicken passanda, yeah.
Hopefully he'll let us know how this went on tomorrow's broadcast.
Please do, Mark. Please stay in touch and keep us abreast of that dinner-based situation. Today's show saw us discussing new slogans for your local areas, including the Isle of Wight, Alcatraz for the elderly, and Staines, just keep driving. We also discussed Ken Dyson's Night at Fleet Services with an amazed Ruth Jones. The world of the Sparky in our regular 41-minute feature, Sparky Wednesday. Tidal Times, of course, they took us to Southend. We covered Vietnamese noodles and multiple Dannies in Quizface, and we dedicated another Muse track to all the babies.
XFM.
There you go, that was podcast number 33 from the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace. Don't forget you can listen live every day from 6:30 on 104.9 FM on DAB or online at
xfm.co.uk.
Nicely said.
So I wasn't really listening. What did you say?
Yes, we are XFM. Danny Wallace.